Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and today we're going to talk about the fear of screwing up our kids as financially independent, retire early parents, or FIRE parents, that is. You know, there's no manual on parenthood. All we can do is hear from others and learn from their experiences. You know, read a bunch of books on what will happen and what may happen to your child if you don't do this or that. And then just kind of do your best and hope for the best. So every other weekday, I walk by my 27-year-old neighbor playing catch in the middle of the street. Nice guy with an intricate tattoo of a dragon on his right throwing arm. I saved up his beat-up Subaru Outback from getting a $120 street cleaning ticket one day, so he's always super friendly to me. And although he's a nice guy, it doesn't seem like he has a job or any ambition beyond just having fun. When he's not playing catch in the middle of the day, he's off to Tahoe with his buddies for a week at a time. And that's great. I always go to Tahoe. Well, I used to always go to Tahoe when I was childless, but now not so much. So he's always telling me the snow reports, the conditions, what street to take, what street not to take. That's good stuff. And then when he's not snowboarding, he's traveling for a softball match. Love it. I used to play softball when I was overseas, and I used to play baseball. It's a great life. I just wonder, though, whether his parents deprived him of his potential because he's still living at home with them. And the truth is, I'm afraid my son will turn out to be just like Jake or my other 26-year-old neighbor who lives at home with his parents and wakes up the street every single morning with the gurgle of his new motorbike. I used to be a biker myself. I had a couple bikes. And you don't leave your motorbike out gurgling for 5, 6, 7 minutes to heat up the engine. Come on. He's got a brand new $10,000 bike. It literally requires maybe 10 seconds. But anyway. So when I asked his mom what he's doing now that he graduated. He graduated college late. He went to community college and then graduated college late at around 24. She shrugged and told me he's still trying to find himself. That's fair enough. We're all trying to find ourselves, right? And at least he's got a sweet sports car and a motorbike to take him wherever he wants to go. So this post really is about understanding a FIRE parent's warped reality. My wife and I, we're two stay-at-home parents who live relatively unconventional lives. We feel our financial independence may end up screwing up our son's life. And after all, you know, I was raised by middle-class family parents who worked at the government. My wife's parents were considered lower middle class. They didn't go to college and they didn't earn that much. And, you know, we went the traditional route that ultimately led us to FIRE in our 30s because we were pretty motivated to try to do better than our parents. And now we approach life not caring so much about following the rules anymore because we can afford to not follow any rules. If he doesn't want to go to college, okay, no problem. Just make sure he takes classes online so he can be an expert in something. Does he want to try his hand at online entrepreneurship? That would be sweet. His old man can give him some pointers. Does he not want to get married and just wants to live with his partner? Great. Use the annual $10,000 in marriage tax penalty savings to go see the world instead. And so for those of you who've built some generational wealth, who have fired or who work non-traditional jobs, let's talk about what our lifestyles might do to our kids in three segments. One is educational attainment. Second is career choices. And then three is a sense of achievement. For educational attainment, it's pretty interesting because I work at a high school now as a tennis coach. And I've learned all about the intricacies of the private school system. So supposedly, you're supposed to apply to a feeder preschool before your child is even born to get on track to one day get into the very high school that I'm coaching at. So I didn't really realize that. Big deal. But before applying to my high school, you've got to get into a selective kindergarten to eighth grade school after completing preschool. So the admissions process includes an evaluation of how your kids play with each other. And an aptitude test. So talk about putting your kids through the ringer really early on. And the thing with going to an elite private school is that not every alumni gets into a prestigious university. you know, Yale can't get everybody from this school. They can only get the top 10%. So most kids who do go to college end up going to a top 50 school, which is great. But so do many kids who go to free public schools as well. As a public school high school graduate who attended a public university and got a front office job at Goldman Sachs in New York City, I 100% believe in the value of a public school education. So much so that I have zero stress about trying to get my son on the private school track. If he doesn't get in, he'll go to public school. Awesome. Save me $20,000 to $50,000 a year for whatever, 13 years, maybe more. Sounds good to me. But the problem is, I hang out with so many friends who do send their kids to these private schools. And they just give me stress about whether or not I'm doing the right thing by being so lackadaisical. You know, I'm thinking to myself, well, not sending my kid to private school, even though we can afford it, deprive him of his potential. You know, this kind of stress is the reason why I'm considering leaving San Francisco. You know, it's kind of the reason why I left my old neighborhood in the north side of San Francisco, where homes are very expensive, and moved out west. It's just kind of a different environment, just more chill. So while I was at Goldman, we routinely rejected kids from the Ivy Leagues, from Stanford, MIT, and all these other great schools for various reasons. But one of the consistent reasons was that the rejects were all very one-dimensional, they were uncharismatic, not dynamic, and they were geeks who just couldn't hold a conversation. Therefore, what's the point of spending all that money, working so hard and stressing all those years to pay for private school and private university if you can't even get a good job? So the fact of the matter is, the more prestigious your education, the higher the expectations. And then the more you don't meet up with those expectations, the sadder you're going to feel. So I'd rather have my kid attend a lower tier school and surprise on the upside. You know, it's really about your mannerisms, communication skills, affability, work ethic, and frankly, connections that are just as important, if not more important, than where you went to school. Besides, in 18 years, how important will a traditional college degree really be if we can already learn everything on the internet for free today? I mean, can you imagine in just 10 years' time, probably all these awesome, specific, online-focused schools that teach you hard skills about things you really, really care about? I mean, think about how much we do not remember from middle school, high school, and college. I mean, I don't think I remember like 98% of the stuff. The only thing I remember are the things that I care about. And the only thing that I'm good at are the things that I care about. All right, so two. Career choices. I firmly do not care if my son becomes a lawyer, banker, venture capitalist, private equity investor, or strategy consultant, or some other traditionally high-paying or, quote, prestigious occupation. I'm going to be proud of him whatever he does, just so long as he's doing what he wants to do. I just want him to be happy, right? And find someone who cares for him as much as I care for him and my wife. You know, I worked in finance for 13 years. Could have done it probably for 18 years, but I just wanted out. And I've written so many articles for the past 8+ years on money, and I can clearly see how money and prestige does not lead to happiness. I think we go way beyond what's necessary to be happy in terms of money and in terms of title and status. You know, I've written about this topic over and over again. And so if you click over to the post, just read the post such as Scraping By on $500,000 a Year, Why It's So Hard to Escape the Rat Race. It really connected with a lot of people who are just killing themselves, paying all these taxes, being miserable, not seeing their kids. I mean, that sucks. That's a bad life. It really is a bad life. For what? It's because of comparison. It's because whoever else, your classmate, is doing this and this and that. You know, it's got to stop, because you're not going to look back and wish you worked more or you made more. You're going to look back and you're going to say, I wish I spent more time with friends and family. So the only professions I really think are honorable are those that help other people. Doctor, teacher, two occupations that come to mind first. And another occupation is being in a nonprofit where you're helping maybe foster kids. I think that's really helpful. Really admirable stuff. You know, mom and dad, we already killed ourselves for money. We did that for 13 years. Therefore, we hope our son doesn't have to kill himself just for money, and he can focus on doing something he really wants to do or serving other people. Finally, a sense of achievement. You know, there's nothing better than working hard and then achieving your goals. If you're an entrepreneur, you really feel that because you generally end up creating something from nothing. It's just a crazy proud feeling that it's hard to describe unless you do it yourself. You know, so we want to instill in our son a work ethic that allows him to appreciate the correlation between effort and reward. You know, the worst thing we can do is just give him everything, because then he'll never fully appreciate what he doesn't earn. But I do fear we won't push our son hard enough to achieve his maximum potential. You know, instead of spending 3 hours a night on homework like his mother and I did in high school, we might just say, hey, do an hour, say what's up, just get B's, and just have fun, because we're going to forget about everything anyway, right? There's nothing we remember from college, high school. I don't remember chemistry. You know, my history is not that good. It's just terrible. And I think if we were struggling financially, we'd certainly push him harder. We'd certainly like for him to get into a great school and get a higher paying job, so he can not only take care of himself, but he can take care of his potentially future family. And then maybe he might even be able to take care of us. But we don't have any of that anxiety. Nothing. So none of that anxiety helps spur us forward. We're going to try to do our best to raise a grounded kid who appreciates the value of a dollar. But I know it's going to be a challenge, because our son will be wondering why his parents are the only parents who never have to go to work. He'll wonder why his old man is at every single soccer match, every orchestra recital, every play, and every debate. And he'll say, Dad, can you stop volunteering so much? You're embarrassing me. I can see that one day. All he'll see is that I'm just pounding away on the keyboard for several hours a day, and that's it. But you know what? Maybe that's what work is most of the time, pounding away at a keyboard. I just remember clearly as a 23-year-old wanting to make as much money as possible so my mother could retire earlier. You know, she was often stressed at work, and she even consulted me one day on whether she should retire before the age of 60 because there's this pension differential. And I told her not to waste one more second at a job she disliked. And I knew, you know, at 23 I didn't make that much money, but I was motivated. Her pain motivated me to aggressively save and invest in order to let her be free sooner. She ended up not really needing my money because she had my father, but I wanted her to know, and I wanted me to know that I could earn and save enough so that if she needed my help, that she could be okay. And she did retire before 60, and it was one of the proudest moments of my life. So I conclude by asking, is it time to stealth wealth our kids? Is that the strategy? I do find solace deep down knowing that no matter what, hopefully our son will be fine because his mom and dad will always be there for him. But I wonder, should we stealth wealth our son by the time he knows what wealth means? You know, one of my friends lives in crazy 9,000 square foot, $18 million mansion, and he flies private with his kids. How the heck are his kids going to be happy with anything less than the best once they get jobs? Right? The median income for a college graduate is like $50,000 a year, maybe $60,000 a year. You know, with that kind of money, you can basically rent a room in a crappy apartment in San Francisco or Manhattan for that kind of money. Or you can go move in the middle of nowhere and maybe get something bigger, but then you'll probably make less. I mean, if you're used to, I don't know, riding around in a Lamborghini, if your first car is a BMW, are you going to be happy? Probably not. There's something to be said about not being that wealthy, because you've got upside. You know, we already live in a middle-class neighborhood in a pretty humble home that's less than 2,000 square feet. It's 3-bedroom, 2-bath, plus a baby room now. And all we've really got to do is get rid of the SUV before he's maybe 7 years old. What is 7 years old? Second grade? And we'll just buy a Honda Accord or something. His mom doesn't wear any jewelry. I just wear jeans and a t-shirt and a lot of sports clothes because that's the most comfortable, and I play a lot of tennis. So I don't think we'll have problems going stealth wealth, but I think we'll have problems when he eventually reads this post, when he's able to read. You know, at the end of the day, we want our kids to have it better than us. And I'm sure our kids want to see if they can one-up their parents. But if you retired in your 30s or in your 40s, and you live a life of leisure, and you've got some passive income that covers all your expenses, I think that's going to be pretty damn hard to beat. And everything is relative, right? And if that's going to be hard to beat, maybe our kids won't really feel happy. So I'd love for all of you guys to let me know. Do you fear screwing up your kids' life due to the lifestyle you lead today? How do we instill in our children an appreciation for hard work if they come from a financially well-to-do family? And what are some of the action steps you've taken to ensure your kids don't grow up to be deadbeat losers? Thanks, everybody.